Welcome to B-Red Podcast, a podcast where we tell our embarrassing stories and then we tell your embarrassing stories and we all cringe and we laugh and we are here to bring some levity to your day. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Katie.
Let's turn B-Red.
How was your week?
I mean, my week was great. It was so good.
What are you watching right now?
I'm watching The Bear, third season of The Bear.
Oh my God, it's so good. I finished it.
So good. I'm only on episode two.
Obsessed. I know. Yeah, I went so crazy binging it because I could not stop. Like,
it's so good.
It's phenomenal. The acting is phenomenal.
I mean, and having worked in restaurants, don't you relate?
1,000%. Yeah. It is heartbreaking. It is traumatic. Yeah. It is just so well acted and stressful.
Incredible. What you can do, though. You know what I mean? Like, if you shoot for the moon, you can get there.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah, keep watching. If you haven't seen Bear,
what about you?
The Bear.
What are you watching?
Yeah, The Bear. I literally just finished The Bear too. Nice. So good. We're back in the swing of school, which is nice.
Yep.
I feel like I have a little bit of my life back now, you know, after all of the summer madness.
Everyone feels that. I'm sure so many people can relate to that so hard.
Yeah.
You got your kids. Yep. You got your kids for the summer.
Kids for the summer, and you're doing all the activities, vacations and camps and things. And yeah, so it's nice to, I'm back in a routine. I really do like routine. Like, yeah, as much as I need like new stimulation and exciting new things for my like creative brain, like I love a routine.
I do too.
It's helpful. Yep. You know, it makes me feel safe. Yeah.
100%.
And they like it too. So he had so much less of a routine in the summer too, because we were traveling and doing other things. And like, so he likes it. Like, he will put himself to bed. Like, he'll complain a little bit, but he likes it. So it is like the structure is good. It's good for everyone.
Yep. My kid's not going to be in school for 5 years, but when he gets there, he's going to be used to routines.
It is going to be great.
I'm like a drill sergeant. Like,
yeah, it's good.
Blow the whistle. We're at the park. Blow the whistle. You have a snack. Blow the whistle. You're going to sleep. Blow the whistle. You're awake. Blow the whistle. We're doing just going kid space or kid's empire. And I'm trying to keep
you alive.
I love
picturing you just blowing a whistle in his crib. Yeah, right. Like, literally.
He's just dressed.
Like, that's how the poor thing is waking up.
He's like, yeah, just in his eyeballs. I would never do that. Okay, kick us off, Katie.
Okay, let's do it. All right, this first story comes from Jackie, and she writes, I was 24. It was the end of my first week at a brand new job at a medical sales distributor, and I was heading to a home healthcare convention with my boss. My boss's wife worked with my mom, so there were ties there, and I wanted to impress him and do a good job. It was going to be a long day, and we had to schlep things around, so I chose an outfit that was casual chic. I wore black joggers and a 3/4 sleeve Club Monaco zip-up sweatshirt. I remember the thought popping into my head as I put the sweatshirt on, you should really wear a tank top underneath. Thankfully, I listened to my intuition. My boss picked me up in his minivan and we drove to this massive convention center and proceeded to pull everything out for the convention to set up the booth. It took a little bit of time, but we got it all unloaded and transported to this massive hallway when you enter the building. All of a sudden, my stomach starts to gurgle.
No.
And I turn to my brand new boss and I say, give me a minute. I'll be right back. So this is old hat for me and I'm feeling pretty stressed, but I see a sign that says washroom and I follow it as it takes me further and further into this massive hallway. I round the corner with a sense of relief, and as I get to the door handle and pull it, kush, kush, it was locked.
No.
I could not get in. I felt a little bit of panic and I turned and I saw a security guard and I said, excuse me, where can I find a washroom that's open? This one's locked and I really, really need one. He pointed further into this never-ending massive hallway.
This is hell.
I know, right?
She just woke up in hell.
It's like I'm picturing like The Shining, like the hallways are just like never ending and scary. Okay. Perfect. I said, okay, you're sure this one's open? He said, yes. So I clenched my butt cheeks and I ran walk all the way there.
She like mall walked.
Yeah, she was like power walking. Butt cheeks clenched. When I finally rounded the corner and had that same sense of relief wash over me, I tried the handle. Gush, gush. Locked.
She met the devil in that hallway.
There was a devil in that hallway for sure. I turned back around and full panic took over. I thought, well, I guess I have to go into the main hallway, which meant I had to go back down the super long and twisty corridor.
Oh my God.
Now, I don't know why in these moments I would have the thought that if I just sat down, I could stop it. I could compose myself, pull it together, and will the shit away. I sat down on a nearby bench and I gave myself a mental pep talk. Come on, Jackie, pull it together. But I couldn't pull it together.
Oh, no.
And I didn't know where to go. And I looked up and I saw a woman greeting people at a desk as they came in. And I thought, I have to go ask her. And I started to walk towards her.
Oh.
And as I did, it started to happen.
No.
It's just like in Bridesmaids where they say, it's happening.
It's happening.
It's happening. It's happening. Oh. I ask her, where is there a women's washroom? And she points to a sign that's directly behind where I was sitting. But it was too late. So I make my way into the washroom. There's two stalls and the small restroom. So obviously I pick the furthest from the door so I can assess the damage. It's bad. Things are bad. Oh, no. I immediately throw my underwear away and then I try my best to wipe the inside of my pants. It's bad. No. I'm stressing, but this has happened to me so many times that I've learned to live with it as best as I can. And I tell myself, it's okay. This is okay. It's okay. Like, oh, poor sweet baby. She's like 24. And I sit back up. And then one of the worst moments of my entire life happens.
No.
I realize that somehow in my cleaning frenzy and bending over, I have dipped the front of my shirt in poo. And it's now covered. I remember in that moment wanting to die. Like actually thinking, if I could just crawl under a rock and die, that would be best. But I did my best to clean up what I could and did what I call matching up the poop parts. And I tied the poo part of the sweatshirt where it met with the poo back of the pants and was so grateful that I had that tank top.
Yes.
This is where I feel extra embarrassed. It's one thing to poop your pants. We've all done it. But to wear your poo outfit for a whole day is another thing.
Wow.
Sweet 24-year-old me didn't want to disappoint my new boss. So I wore my poo outfit for the next several hours and proceeded to help my boss set up for the convention. And then I drove home with him in that small enclosed space of the minivan. Did it stink? Yes. I'm sure it did.
That is a poor sweet baby.
It's such a good story.
Oh, it's so good. And it totally highlights that young ambition that you have and you just are going to do everything
and
to please your boss.
And his wife knew her mom. So like that's a whole thing. But she was telling me some other stuff when I was talking to her. But she was saying that like she's like, he probably told her, like, this girl smelled so bad. Like,
she smelled like poop.
In the van. Like, she's like, every time I tell the story to my friends, they're like, didn't it smell in the van? She's like, yeah, I'm sure it did. Like, what was I supposed to do?
Yeah, there's nothing.
But what can you do? She didn't have a change of clothes. Like,
lucky
she tried
she had
to
that
wash
sweatshirt
it.
And the tank
yes,
top. Lucky she could cover
intuition
it.
That intuition that popped into her head and said, you need to put a tank top on. Like, she listened
that
to it.
So good. Oh, that's a great story.
Why couldn't it have told her, don't even go today?
Bring a change of clothes.
Bring a change of clothes.
It makes you like if that happened to me, I would probably do like that PTSD of just I'm going to bring clothes everywhere I go and just have a backpack of just a full outfit
yeah.
in it.
This is the first week she started her job, too. It was literally the first week. So can you I know because you and she liked the job a lot. So I know my thought is like, I'm like, God, would I just walk out and like but he's her ride. So you can't even like I mean, I guess she could have tried to like call an Uber or a taxi or whatever. I don't know what time it was.
No, but then you have to explain why you're leaving. To be like, I'll be right back.
Or do you just...
BRB.
No, yeah. Because you can... And that's the thing is his wife knew his mom. So she mm-hmm. couldn't just like quit and be like...
Right.
Because if you didn't, I think I would just be like, all right, well, that's done.
Right. You can't be like,
well,
hey...
I'm trying to find a new job. This job's
I
over.
I help setting this up. I pooped my pants. I'll be right back and I'm going to pick up where I left off.
What a brave, sweet girl that she totally. Was able to be like 24 and be like, okay, you know what? Like, yes. I am going to... suck it up and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to work in my poo outfit.
That is
and
a I'm sacrifice.
Go home in my poo outfit.
Yep. If I mean, any time after that, she was able to say, oh, I have sacrificed for my job. Absolutely, I have.
And the whole convention was like, wow, every time she walked back.
The whole convention was like, it smells like poop in here.
That girl keeps farting everywhere she goes.
She is a crop dusting like you would not believe.
I love it so
MVP
much.
MVP crop dusting.
It's such a great story. Thank
it's
you
great.
So much for sharing that
Thank
with us.
Thank you so much.
And I know there's a million other people that relate to that. So if you have a similar something, tell us your story.
Tell us your story. And this is the thing that I love so much about this is that everyone can relate. It's happened yeah, to everybody.
It has.
You're not alone out there, you poopy pants. Okay, so here we go. Here we go.
You're such a goob. All right, let's hear it.
Okay, this is from Paulie in Chicago. Mm-hmm. In my 20s, I smoked a lot of pot. We had a big
Who
bong
didn't?
In the kitchen. Yeah, me. But anyways, I could never handle pot. We had a big bong in the kitchen and I'd take a rip and then just blow it out the back door of our apartment so the place didn't reek of pot. We lived on the first floor of a 3-story building. The trash was close to our back door and other floors had to walk down their back staircases to throw their garbage out. One day, I took a huge hit and danced to the back door doing a little leg extension kick as I opened the back door and blew the enormous hit of weed right into my neighbor's face.
Oh my God.
He was standing there holding 2 trash bags and he just stood there directly in the line of fire. I exhaled for so long. I was mortified and he looked shocked. I'm sorry, I said. Stoned.
He just hotboxed you.
he basically just blew. You can't see that and unsee that. You realize that your downstairs neighbor smokes hella weed. Who knows what the kind of encounters they'd had in passing. But now the cat's out of the bag.
Now you know.
So he just said, I was so stoned. We both froze for a second. And when he didn't say anything, I scooted back inside and closed the door. I felt horrible about it and then tried to avoid him for the next 2 years.
I wish you would have said, can I get ahead of that?
Yeah. Then they could have bonded.
Yeah.
I just stood there like, can you imagine? Because you don't expect that. You throw your trash out and then you get like, contact high.
Yeah.
You go back up to your family and you're like stoned and hungry. You're just starving.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And paranoid. And then you go take a nap and you're not supposed to. This is why I did not smoke weed.
Okay. My next story comes from Ben, and he writes, when my wife, Anne, was still my girlfriend and we were newly dating, we took a trip to New York with my best friend and his girlfriend. None of us had ever been before, so we were doing all of the touristy things that you do. My girlfriend was a huge fan of the movie Big and Home Alone, so she wanted to go to the FAO Schwartz store. It was pretty cool. We all walked into the store and sort of spread out, picking up toys, being nostalgic, and commenting on things as we moved through the store. I realized I lost my girlfriend at one point, then spotted her in an aisle with her back to me and decided it would be the perfect time to scare her. I stealthily stalked behind her, reached my arm out, and smacked and grabbed her ass and said, gotcha.
Oh, no.
It was at that moment that I realized I did not have her. I was gripping my best friend's girlfriend's ass. She whipped around and swatted me away and said, why don't you grab Anne's ass? I was shocked and so embarrassed and profusely apologized. I know this sounds bad. It makes me look like a perv. But to be fair, they had the same hair color, were wearing similar outfits, and even had similar bodies. Everywhere on the trip, people thought they were sisters. Luckily, my girlfriend could tell it was an accident and how mortified I was and couldn't stop laughing about it. My best friend still teases me about the day I tried to steal his girl.
I was going to say, how do you even explain that if your girlfriend doesn't get it? She's like, what were you doing? And then it's awkward between them. And then
I thought it was you. Really? You don't know what I look like?
Really? You haven't looked at my face? That's so funny.
We have matching asses. Really?
Yeah, really? All of our asses are the same. Great. That's crazy. I'm glad that it worked out, that she knew him so well that she knew it was a mistake.
People accidentally grab asses all the time.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, if my boyfriend's friend smacked and grabbed my butt, I would be weird around him after that. I would just be like, we've shared a butt grab. We've shared a goose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goose. Would you? Like, how do you feel?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it would really depend on if I did believe it or not. If I was like, you're just being shady. If I really did. But I think, like, I mean, if his face turned bright red and he was like shocked and mortified, you can tell. You can tell when somebody really didn't mean to do it. Because if he did mean to do it, he probably just would have been like made a smirk or something.
Yeah.
Face, you know?
Like a whoopsie.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
He really.
He felt
was
bad.
Just a dum-dum.
Yeah. That's really funny. And they were at F.O. Schwartz, too. They're in a toy store. It's so funny. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay. This is from John in Long Beach, California. And he wrote, online dating pretty much sucks. I haven't had much luck with it, but every once in a blue moon, I meet someone who really excites me. A couple years ago, I met this really cool lady. She was creative, funny, passionate about seeing live music. This was exciting because I've always been a fan of all kinds of live music. However, since I was very young, I've always been partial to aggressive stuff. Punk, metal, hardcore. If it's fast and loud, I probably like it. So when I started dating someone who told me they liked live music, I was excited to share my passion for seeing musicians on stage. One of my favorite bands of all time was coming through town, and I thought it would be cool to
Korn.
Go see them.
Was it Korn?
I don't know any hardcore bands. I wish I could just like inject them right now. I don't. So he's taking this girl to go see one, this band. The band was intense, but they weren't the kind of band that would have mosh pits at their show or anything. What I hadn't considered, however, were the opening bands. Normally, I try to check the openers out before I go to a show, but because it was a busy week or whatever, I didn't do my research. There were two bands before the headliner, and one of the openers was a fairly notable hardcore punk band. So off we went to this show. I played my date some of the headlining band's music on their way, and she said she liked it. I figured this was going to be a great night. We arrive at the show, and the first band is pretty mellow. We got some drinks, made our way up to the front of the stage to check them out. The first band set ended, and we chatted while the next band came on stage to set up. I remember thinking, whoa, these guys look a little rough. We were having a great time, and then suddenly our conversation was interrupted by a wave of feedback. The singer of the band stepped up to the microphone and shouted, "One, two, fuck you!" And the band broke into a bone-shattering hardcore punk song. I'm sorry. That is funny. Like, the fact that a band starts that way, yeah. "One, two, fuck you!" Like, what? That's so... If I were in that audience, I'd be like, "Excuse me, sir. No, fuck you."
You would not be in that audience.
Can you picture me in, like, no. front row wearing what I'm wearing?
You,
like,
would not be in that audience.
Oh, no, no, you did not just say that, like, while they're singing. "One, two, fuck you." It should be noted that I was so wrapped up in my conversation with this enchanting woman that I had failed to notice the enormous crowd that had gathered around us in the interim between bands. And when the band started playing, the entire crowd went nuts, forming a full-blown mosh pit. Can you imagine? I can imagine you in a mosh pit for 1 second. But I would love it if you just found yourself in a mosh pit. It was about 10 seconds into the first song that some stinky punk rocker started throwing his elbows around and cracked my date right across the nose.
No!
She got moshed.
Oh, no.
Blood started gushing out.
Yeah, when I've seen them break out before, I just get away from it.
Have you, like, really been in a place where...
Yeah, for sure. I've been to tons of, like, festivals awesome. And stuff. I've been to, yeah, lots of different shows in college and stuff where there were definitely mosh pits. But I'm like, no, thank you. Like, you don't want to get all shoved in the crowd surfing mosh pits. I hate that.
Well, some of them are, like, supposed to be, like, they're, like, peaceful shoving around. They're not trying to hurt each other. I mean,
well, it's like dance shoving is, like, what, yeah. It's like dance shoving. It's like an aggression, like, kind of, yeah. It's not meant to, like, bully hurt you, but people are, like, they're, if you're banging around like that, there's.
Can you imagine you are on a date and your date's nose gets broken?
No, that's horrible.
By someone's elbow.
Yeah, you're like, let's go to the show. And then she gets her nose broken.
So I got her out there. I got her out of there as quickly as possible. I told her to wait in the lobby while I went to get some paper towels for her nose. When I returned, she was gone.
Oof.
Never heard from her again.
Well,
you did it to yourself, pal.
Well,
one, two, fuck you. I wonder if she said that as she left.
Yeah, that's what she said on her way out.
That's what she says when she picks up the phone.
That was it.
That is so bad.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This next story is a short one, but it's a doozy, from Blanca, and she writes, "I took my kids to Baskin Robbins for ice cream. They were super excited, but only about 3 and 4 years old, so still really small, and weren't able to fully see into the glass case to pick their ice cream flavors. They were on their little tippy toes trying to peer in, so one by one, I went down the line and picked them up so they could choose their flavor. As I set my second kid down, I saw there was another kid about their size trying to peer in too, so I did the kind motherly thing and picked him up so he could also see in. He was a little heavier, but I didn't think anything of it. He then turned around and said, 'Ma'am, put me down.' And I realized it was a little person.
Oh.
I thought I was going to die of embarrassment. I profusely apologized and was so mortified that we left before getting ice cream.
Oh.
I still cringe when I think about that moment."
You know what?
Like, oh, my
can
God.
You imagine? Oh, my God.
That she was trying to be, like, a sweet mom.
Yeah, she's
and
just
she
holding...
picked up a little person.
That's so... I mean, that I feel like it's like a perfect storm. You know what I mean? There's anyone... That could have happened to anybody. Like, it just... It is what it is. That's
but
so
that's crazy. Mortifying.
This is from Reddit. It's from Reddit. I'm
Did you
sorry.
Reddit. You read it on
this
Reddit.
This isn't as vintage as the other one. But I just went down this rabbit hole and I just thought, wow, this is so good.
It's easy to do. I get sucked into
oh,
Reddit all
I know.
The time.
I need to stop.
It's the
but,
best.
Like, we need,
Don't
we need,
stop. Please. We want to hear them.
So this is the handle on Reddit. It is Sleep Can't Catch Me, which I think these handles are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, The Great Penguini and then Sleep Can't Catch Me. This was during my sophomore year in math class. I sat between two gentlemen, which I think is funny that they said gentlemen because it's math class. It's so funny. It makes it sound like there's, like, all these adults in this math class, mm-hmm. but sophomore year. I was really congested that day and thus pretty tired at the same time. I was resting my head in my hand and hunched over my math book when I felt a sneeze coming. I went to lean back, but apparently didn't move quick enough and then... The force of this sneeze sent my face hurling into my desk.
Oh, no.
That's so sad.
That is an aggressive sneeze.
I know. Can you imagine? My head smacked the desk so hard that I bounced back up like a basketball.
Oh, my God.
At that point, I was just dizzy and like, Meanwhile, the two guys next to me just completely lose their shit. The one on the right is howling with laughter. The one on the left has his face in his hands and is snorting. The teacher looked at us so confused, and all I could say was, "I sneezed." Isn't that so funny? Can you imagine sitting there and seeing someone just, like, sneeze and then bam, like it looks like a ghost just like slammed their head on their desk.
Yeah, it's awkward so, in class.
It's just so surprising. Stuff like that makes me laugh.
There
so
have
hard.
To be a bunch of good classroom stories too. Tell yes. us your embarrassing moments in the classroom. Yes, I know they're yes. there. Okay, my next story comes from Audrey, and she writes, okay, I have one from when I was a teenager. Background info, my dad was a tradesman and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, so not a lot of money, but enough to do some fun activities. Anyway, I was maybe 14 at this time, and we were at Walmart looking for white clothes to tie-dye. I saw this hideous white dress and went up to my mom joking, asking her, please, 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 can I have this dress? She knew I was kidding and responded back that it was too expensive. We moved on. Later, I was in the Febreze aisle with my friend being bad and spraying each other with Febreze. A nice lady walks up to me and told me how she overheard me and how much I wanted that dress, and she handed me $20 to buy it. I tried to refuse, but she insisted and would not let me give it
Good
back
Samaritan.
To her. I was mortified that she was so kind and I was objectively being a brat. So out of guilt and obligation, I bought the dress, tie-dyed, and wore it around. I still carry the guilt decades later.
That is awesome. She still wore it around and tie-dyed it.
Yeah, but that's so cute that you're literally just being like a sarcastic little bitch to your mom. And you're like, mom, please buy me this dress. Serious. And it's so ugly and you hate it. And then this sweet woman's like, oh, you really wanted that dress? I'm going to buy it for you.
It was $20. I would have been like, thanks. And I would have bought like a million other things.
Yeah, I'm like, you had a good conscience.
She's not going to follow you around the store.
Maybe her mom's like, you're buying that dress.
You're going to wear that.
You're like, going to buy that dress and you're going to wear that dress. And that's what you get for being sarcastic. That's what you get, you little brat.
I am picturing that dress as like William Shakespeare.
I know. What did it look like? I'm so curious.
Like a big turtleneck. It's like,
maybe
I don't know.
It was like super frilly. Yeah, we need details. Tell us what the dress looked like.
Yeah, take a picture, send it to us.
Yeah, do you still have it?
That is awesome. That's so good. And I love that too, because you do spray your siblings with the Febreze and whenever you can in any store. That's true. All right. This is from my last story is from Miranda in Evanston, Illinois. And she writes,
Miranda.
What's up? Oh, yes.
That chick on TikTok is my favorite. Miranda. She does the Steve Miranda from Sex and the City.
I love
her videos.
Steve.
I watch all of her videos. She kills me.
You have to send it to me because I knew exactly what you were talking about. I love Steve.
She's so funny.
Can you please send it to me?
Yeah, she just did one with him playing basketball and I was dying. It's the best.
He's always playing basketball. Okay. In high school, I was dating someone and we used to go on these long, epic walks. Like we'd start out walking and talking. And before I knew it, we'd be in another suburb of Chicago on top of a roof, having scaled a building to marvel at the view. We'd walk and talk
for
hours.
What are
they
like freaking?
This is not like early 90s.
They're scaling buildings? They're
yeah,
doing
I mean,
parkour.
Think about it. They didn't have cell phones back then. Like maybe, you know, I actually know this person. So it was the 90s. We wanted to experience everything the world had to offer us. I had that excited first love feeling. At the time, what we were doing was somehow forbidden, like sneaking out at 16 and driving to an all-night diner to drink coffee. We listened to CDs the whole way, no playlist yet. So you'd be grooving along to an early Radiohead song and like you'd have to stop after it was over and like switch the CD.
Yeah, I remember
like
those
sit
days.
Sit in the silence until you could like program the next song.
Yep.
So to impress this crush, I watched Cool Hand Luke, which if you don't know that story, do you know that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's with Paul Newman and mm-hmm. he goes to jail for defacing parking meters. And then in the movie, the system breaks him, but not before he like finds out his mother died and like
spoiler
sings
alert
an
for this,
amazing
like, 60-year-old movie.
Song. Oh my God.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Spoilers. I should have said that before I spoiled it. Anyway, one night we were hanging out and there were a row of parking meters lining the street and I'm crouched down on the sidewalk tying my shoe and I start talking to my crush who's behind me. So I'm looking back and I turn my head as I get up and I just slam my face into a parking mirror. I knocked myself out and when I came to, I had a huge bruise on my forehead.
Oh,
but
man.
The biggest bruise was on my ego.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
No, that's so embarrassing.
I wonder. Yeah. Yeah, it's so embarrassing. I should have asked if they were like going to deface the parking meter like Cool Hand Luke style. Like, I don't know. I
heard Dave say, Miranda.
Miranda. It's Steve. Oh my God. I got to see that.
That's great. My last story is from Hannah. When I was in high school, I was on the dance team. I'm from a really small town, so the rivalry game was something that everyone and their parents would come out for. Literally everyone in our tiny town was packed into this high school gym. We were dancing to a DMX mix track and had a really great routine prepared. We were all wearing baggy jeans, and our coach told us to wear bloomers underneath in case the jeans fell down, but I thought that was stupid. And I wore granny panties because I knew my jeans weren't loose enough to fall down and no one would see them.
Oh, no.
Foreshadowing.
I know where this is going.
We walked out onto the court and the performance started. I was front and center. We started off where we did that move where you slap the floor and move your body up slowly, you know? As soon as I bent over and slapped the floor, my pants completely ripped from my belly button to the top of my ass crack. The audience behind me immediately started pointing and laughing like some kind of bad dream. I started hysterically laughing and crying at the same time. Oh. I was completely humiliated, but I just kept dancing.
She's committed. Run off stage. She's still doing the sexy moves with her butt hanging out.
She stayed in it. She is a committed dance team queen, and I love it.
I love it.
She said, I am going to fight through the tears.
You're going to see my grannies, and we're going to do this.
She is dancing and crying and laughing and has a full split up her butt. It's so good. As soon as our routine was over, I ran crying to the bathroom.
Oh.
The drama. I thought my life was over. People laughed for a while, but eventually I got over it, and it was funny to talk about.
Can I tell you something that's so funny about that? It's very embarrassing. But the fact that she's like tearing up as she's doing
She's crying.
Moves, but she like waits to the end. She like gets it done. And then she's like... It like runs away.
I know. It's the best. I'm like, is there video of this somewhere? What year did this happen? If there is video, we need to see it.
I just like the commitment. Like the show had to go on.
It's amazing.
She wasn't about to let her teammates sink.
Absolutely not.
And then she cried her ass off and ran away.
Poor sweet baby.
Oh, I love her.
It's so good. It's such a good story. Thank you so much for sharing that, Hannah. And thank you to everyone else who shared your stories.
Yes, thank
you. We loved it.
Show.
If you loved it too, we hope that you tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps move up the charts.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, please visit our Patreon page. It is linked in the show notes.
And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, please email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com. If you can't beat them,
join them.
See you next week.